Coming up on this episode of The Social Hour, Dave Carroll, singer and star of United Breaks Guitars, joins us to explain why social is the medium to get heard, plus his new service, Grapevine, and use your Facebook friends as currency. All that and chill, it's the Pinterest for Video on The Social Hour.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for The Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber MacArthur. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Ford, featuring the EcoBoost engine with turbocharger and direct injection. Look for EcoBoost in the 2012 Explorer and Edge, the 2013 Escape, and at Ford.com/technology. And by Ting.com. Ting gives you big savings and billing clarity for mobile phone service. Try their online savings calculator and save $50 on your device purchase at Ting.com/social hour. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Social Hour in Petaluma, California. I'm Sarah Lane.
And in Toronto, Ontario, I'm Amber MacArthur. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Amber. How are you?
I'm doing really well. It's almost March. I can't believe it. Time is flying by.
Yeah, we've had, we talk about weather a lot on the show, as anyone who watches or listens knows, and it is kind of cold in the Bay Area. In fact, Chad was mentioning that he had to scrape ice off of his windshield this morning, which is, we've had a very temperate winter, so it's sort of starting to feel like winter now that it's March.
Well, Sarah, you guys will just have to come north because I have to say we've had one of the mildest winters I can ever remember in Toronto. Barely any snow at all. It's beautiful today, spring-like weather almost. So it's just been, I don't know, it's strange. It's almost eerie, but many people are enjoying being outside and just absolutely no snow on the ground. You know, you have little kids who see like tiny little pockets of snow who get so excited, but not a normal Canadian winter, that's for sure.
Well, I guess for snowpack reasons, then maybe there's an incentive to want to have a lot of snow. I know around these parts, people are mumbling and grumbling because a lot of people go to Tahoe to ski, and there's just not a lot of snow right now. And so it's screwed up a lot of people's winter homes and that sort of thing. But we all kind of like the nice weather, too.
Except for the ice scraping.
Right, yeah. We don't get that in the city. You got to go a little bit farther north for that. But enough about the weather, because we actually have a really exciting guest joining us today. Amber, you met him many years ago in a bar back in Canada.
Many, many years ago, before he was famous.
Yeah, exactly. It's Dave Carroll. You might know Dave from a little song he sung called United Breaks Guitars, but he does all sorts of other stuff. He joins us now. Dave Carroll, welcome to The Social Hour.
Hi, Sarah. Hi, Amber.
Hey, Dave, thank you so much for joining us. And I know you have a new business right now that we want to talk about, Grapevine, which was one of our Rad or Fad segments earlier on The Social Hour. But let's go back to that time when you did the United Breaks Guitars video and just set this up a little bit for us in terms of how you were inspired with the idea and maybe even the shock in terms of how successful that was and how many people were watching that.
Yeah, sure. I was inspired to write the song after I had a really bad customer service experience with United Airlines, and it started with a flight to Nebraska on March 31st, 2008. And my video came out of the fact that after 9 months of trying to get United to take some responsibility for what was my broken Taylor guitar, they wouldn't do anything and close the conversation. So I was left with two options: to either, one, walk away and do nothing, or two, do something else. And my something else was to make three music videos and three songs about my experience and post them on YouTube with the goal of getting 1 million hits in the next year with all three videos combined. And on July 6th, 2009, I put the first video up at 11:30 p.m. and went to bed that night half an hour later with six hits. And by Friday of that week, I had 1 million hits on the first video alone.
Wow, that is incredible. Do you think it's because... the song is awesome. It's really well done. The video is fun, but it's actually something that so many people can relate to, where it's like you have a very bad customer service experience and try as you might, you can't get them to pay any attention to you, even though you know that you've been wronged.
Oh, absolutely. The the song resonated with everybody, and I do a lot of speaking now to corporations and organizations around the world to talk about customer service, social media, and branding. And I open my presentation by asking the question, who here in the audience has had a bad airline experience or knows somebody who has? And everywhere in the world, from Siberia to Mexico and Australia, they all put up their hand, and that's one of the key reasons why the song was so successful.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the damage that this video did to United. I mean, there are many reports out, including one that I read on the BBC, I believe, 6 months or a year ago, that talked about millions and millions of dollars that this particular video did to damage to United's reputation. Can you give us sort of a better sense of the overall damage in terms of how you've experienced it over the years?
Well, yeah, you're right. The BBC announced that it, and so did The Economist magazine, that it dropped United stock by 10% or $180 million for a short amount of time. And I think it's difficult to say that the video did all of that, but it did something. I'm sure that United lost more market capitalization than other airlines at the time, and it would probably be attributed to that song. In terms of dollars and cents, that's one thing, but I think in terms of branding, today, brands have to be really careful about how they treat their customers, because this is the perfect example that shows that one person can do something that could forever affect your brand. And there are people around the world now who can't see a United plane without thinking United breaks guitars, and nothing they can ever do will change that. And fortunately, it was a funny song, and if they offer a cheap flight, they'll still get customers, that sort of thing. But you have to be careful of your branding. It's your brand is the sum of the conversations that are happening about it. And United Breaks Guitars changed the conversation to something that they probably didn't like.
We should probably move over to Grapevine. You've almost set it up perfectly. This is a service that Amber and I have talked about here on the Social Hour in the past, but you're directly involved with building, and it is a place for not only someone like me to say, listen, United did something unforgivable. I had a terrible experience. Here's what happened. Here's why I want to be reimbursed for my flight, whatever. But it also gives United an opportunity to respond to me and try to rectify things. How does Grapevine work?
Well, there's two sides to the equation that my partners and I sort of identified and realized. I have nothing against businesses, and we're all customers to somebody. So businesses exist because we need them, and a lot of them do great things. There's the customer side, the consumer side. And as customers, we all want to be able to get what we expect and what we're promised. So for Grapevine, on the consumer side, we offer an opportunity for people who have had bad customer service experiences to go there, air their gripe, share with people what happened. They can do it either by writing it. We also encourage creativity, so videos can be hosted there as well. And it's very simple. You open up a page very quickly and an account, state your gripe, and you plant your gripe, and then Grapevine social media tools, they take that gripe and they send it to decision makers at the right spot, so you don't have to spend hours and minutes in a customer service maze. And if depending on what the company does, either they help you or they don't, at the end of the cycle, the customers get to rate the customer service they received from the companies through a customer satisfaction index. And every company in the world will have a page that has a customer satisfaction index up in the top corner, and that will be shown as a letter grade from A to F. And so every customer has a voice and contributes to the grade, like a Better Business Bureau. So there's an incentive now on the business side to embrace this, because more and more people are turning to social media to answer customer service problems. And it's not even what the issue is today. It's what is it going to be in 10 years? And it'll probably be 100-fold in terms of the number of complaints that are going through social media. So businesses need a tool that can handle the influx of social media complaints and conversations. And Grapevine does that. It monitors all conversations, just like Radian 6 might do, but it also effectively manages all the gripes into something that a company can use and assign certain agents to prioritize certain gripes and make it all manageable for them.
Can you give us an example of a company that has taken advantage of this based on a gripe that has come in, and how it has helped them fix a problem that they've had in place?
We are just in the very, very early stages. We just launched about 2 weeks ago now, and we're just in the process of signing up a lot of companies. But there are thousands of people who are now signed up to Gripevine and airing some complaints and getting attention because of it. I have one United story, and it's partially because of Gripevine and partially just because they reached out to me personally, but the potential's there, and that's what I really find exciting. And there was a customer who he tried every level that he was told to do, similar to what I had experienced. And I connected him with somebody at the upper echelons of United through Gripevine, and his situation was solved. So Gripevine is not United is not a customer of Gripevine's today, but they could very well be very soon. And the system does work at getting a message out. The message was planted on Gripevine, and I just connected the two people. The matter was dealt with in-house.
Do you plan to charge businesses for having Gripevine accounts so that they can manage the influx of issues that customers might be having with them? I love the idea of you putting me in touch with United, but that almost seems too easy for me.
Right. Well, that's the whole business model is on the revenue generating side by subscription. So it will always be free for consumers, and there will always be a free component for companies. And depending on how robust a solution you want, it goes up from $100 to over $5,000 per month. And for huge companies, our upper echelon is a drop in the bucket compared to what it offers. So we're keeping our prices low enough that we're hoping that all companies might consider using Gripevine someday.
I also wanted to talk about your book. I just realized today that you have a book coming out in June, United Breaks Guitars, The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media. Many people have heard your story. How does a book kind of take people on the journey and continue that dialogue?
Well, the book, United Breaks Guitars, The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media, was published by Hay House Publishing. It comes out in mid-May. And Hay House is more of a self-empowerment house than say a business publishing company. So that sort of speaks to the breadth of the story. But I take people through the background, how it is that I was on my way to Nebraska, the more detail than I normally am able to give in a short 2 or 3 minute interview, some of the ins and outs, and then through the media frenzy that followed. I also go through what my life growing up was like, just by showing some examples of how our dad used to sing to us when we were younger. And his policy was always, if you don't know the music, you play louder. And if you don't know the words, you sing louder or you play louder. And don't let those things get in the way of stopping you. And I took that philosophy of just do it. And I brought that into our music career and then into the United Breaks Guitar story about how not waiting until I had enough money to make a really high quality video. I made the most of what I had. And then I go into some of the examples, what United's reaction was to this, and finish off with, I think the big lesson for me is not that it was a David and Goliath story, but that we're all connected as people, and that social media doesn't connect us as we say it does all the time. I think we are connected as people first, and social media actually only allows us to experience that connection more readily. So by casting a wide net like I did, because we are all connected as people, I was able to reach a wider audience than I ever thought possible. And that philosophy can help businesses if you do the same thing.
I think a lot of people who watch The Social Hour sometimes wonder, well, depending on your reach, you might have a lot more success with a really big company like United, or, you know, it could be any large company where it's difficult to get somebody on the phone for customer support. And you can feel frustrated if you don't have a lot of followers on a social network that you're really trying to put a lot of effort into. Was there, for United Breaks Guitars, was there a website that had picked up the video overnight that helped you skyrocket to so many views in such a short period of time?
When I woke up on the Tuesday morning of that week, there was, I think, only 300 hits. Mm-hmm. And by noon, there was 5,000. And I heard that the Consumerist website had started to... that started to light up, and so the traction aimed by there started to really help out. So it wasn't just the Consumerist, but early on I had received email from people who said, you got to check this out, the Consumerist is talking about it, and that gave it credibility and legs, I think.
How has your life changed since all of this happened? When I first met you, you were playing, I believe, in a small bar in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, and you were mainly focused on music. So how have things changed in your day-to-day life since all of this fame after putting this video online and it becoming viral?
Well, it changed everything, and that's part of the entertaining aspect, I think, of the book and when I do a keynote, because I talk about all of that stuff. And there's a self-empowerment story about what you can achieve with $150 and some passion and being on the right side of right. And so I went from being a singer-songwriter as part of Sons of Maxwell and a solo career, writing songs and performing for myself, and successful. I've traveled the world doing all that. But instantly, millions of people knew who I was, that I was a singer-songwriter, and a lot of those people went looking for other things that I had recorded. And so the Sons of Maxwell and my solo career have benefited from sales and new fans all around the world that we never would have had. So social media right there has allowed me to reach 150 million people now with my story. And if you can sell your story to people, then they may be more interested to buy what you have to sell. So that's one of the lessons. I'd never really done much speaking. If you recall seeing Dawn and I playing, Amber, you might remember that I never really did a lot of talking on stage. But
yes, I do remember that.
But I'm quite busy now doing talks all over the world, and I enjoy that a lot. And this book, I've never written anything until this year to be published, and so I'm really honored and excited about that. And Grapevine is an outlet to really do something for other people and be of service in a way that makes me feel good and takes the platform I had with United Breaks Guitars and allows me to use it for the betterment of other people, I think.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And it was just a real treat to talk to you. And we've talked about this story before, and it is an amazing story. And congratulations again on your second child, and get to that ultrasound or you're not going to have a happy wife.
And we're excited to get a hold of your book later this year. And please come and join us again once we have a chance to read it. And we could talk a little bit more about social media and how to use it for the greater good.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Amber. We'll see you later.
All right, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Amber, I love this story because it's Dave was already a very talented musician. He said he was touring. He was singing for people. He was happy. And it's so great that he was able to, you know, he's probably very frustrated. He has the smash guitar, you know, he has a really bad day and decides, well, you know, instead of kicking in the door, you know, I'll put together something that's kind of humorous, but a very factual account of what happened using the talents that he already has. It gets a lot of attention because people can identify with him. And all of a sudden now, like he said, his life is completely different. And it gave him a good idea to start Grapevine to help other people have their voices heard. It's such a great story.
I honestly think, you know, over the years, kind of studying social media and talking about it, that this is probably one of the classic stories of social media gone wrong for a company. And it's also amazing because, you know, Dave Carroll, of course, his music, like you mentioned, people, he was relatively successful. But the reality is, it's not as though he was one of those people who would be considered an influencer or early adopter in the social media world. He didn't have a ton of people following him on social sites. And this really helped him kind of skyrocket into the spotlight very quickly. So a great story, a treat to talk to him because I use this story a lot in case studies. So it's just neat to actually hear his experience in terms of what exactly happened and what he's turned it into. You know, great example. You know, some people that might have happened to them and then maybe they just, you know, tried to ride it out and it just kind of tapers off. But he's built a really strong career based on the fame of this one video.
Absolutely. And you can tell that Dave is obviously a very nice person, but you could tell that he's like, yeah, you know, I got my voice heard. I'm proud of that. I think other people should do more of that too. And he's right. The advice I always give people, because I have experienced this in my own life, is when companies wrong you or you feel that you have been wronged, you have to persevere. Maybe they'll pay attention to you right away, but chances are they won't. And, you know, you might have to be a little bit noisier on Twitter or call them back on customer service a little bit more. It's like, those are the sorts of things. And when you when you have other people that are rallying behind you, it gives you momentum. And that's, unfortunately, sometimes you just kind of have to be noisy. And Dave was able to be noisy in actually a really pleasing way. It's a great song. By the way, did you know that United Breaks Guitars at one point was at the iTunes UK's top of their country music chart?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was number one.
Wow, I did not know that. That's hilarious.
I dug up. Yeah, so again, people like the song.
Yeah, they like. I mean, yeah, it's got a great beat to it, and it's a lot of fun. So I guess it shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Very cool.
Very cool indeed. DaveCarrollMusic.com is his website if you want to know a lot more about Dave and awards that he's won and what he's up to when he's not working on the projects we talk about today. He's a busy guy. So we thank him for visiting us on the Social Hour. Quick reminder that we record the Social Hour live on Mondays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Started a little bit earlier today for any of you watching the live stream because Dave had to rush off to an ultrasound with his family. So thanks to everybody who joined us a little bit earlier than usual. If you, for whatever reason, can't watch us live, miss an episode, didn't know that we were starting early today, any of that stuff, twit.tv/TSH is our show website. That's where all of our episodes live. You can get subscription links to watch, subscribe, and then watch any of our shows for free, on demand, anytime that's convenient for you. We have audio and video subscription links, all that good stuff, links to where to find us on iTunes. It's pretty much just the place to go for all of our old episodes, including links that we might talk about and maybe you hadn't written it down and you want to look back for reference. Again, twit.tv/TSH is our show almanac, where everything lives. We've got even embedded videos. That's us last week. That was my, I guess, my Queen Victoria wave. I don't really know what I was doing.
Awesome screenshot. For all our listeners, you need to go check out the Twit site. It is definitely a nice, nice wave. Sarah.
It's true. You know, it's funny when for all of our the people who listen to our audio stream, we love you guys. However you want to digest the show is fine with us. But you will miss Jeff Stewart, our editor's screen captures. He's the one who chooses those screens on our videos. And every once in a while he'll choose something and I'll look at it and I'll go, Jeff, no, you cannot choose that one. I look like I'm in the middle of, you know, a cry or something.
Oh, that's like YouTube when you have to go and you choose one of three.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's any way to get around that, but literally sometimes they're, you know, none of them are good.
Yeah, this is we can choose just anyone. Well, I always say, just pick one of us smiling. And he goes, but that's boring. I don't want to do that every week. I say, just do it, Jeff. So yes, thank you to everybody who has subscribed. If you haven't already, subscribe. It's probably the easiest way to make sure that you don't miss a show. And you can, of course, email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv with any questions, comments, programming notes, anything. We're always here listening to you. Okay, before we get into the rest of the show, we want to quickly thank Ford for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Something we actually haven't talked about on The Social Hour yet is the EcoBoost part of Ford's technology. We've talked a lot about apps that you can take advantage of in Ford models. EcoBoost is engine technology from Ford. I want to make sure I describe this right. That basically gives you the power of a much larger engine than what might be in this model. The deal is that EcoBoost has two technologies, direct injection and twin turbocharging. Direct injection produces a cooler charge that generates more power per drop of fuel. So with two small engine-cooled turbochargers, you can spool up more quickly than a single large turbo. What that means is that energy from your exhaust, which would otherwise just be a bunch of waste, gets rotated back into the turbine wheels, which couples to a compressor, pressurizes incoming air, and significantly increases your output per liter. So your experience is instantaneous, low-end torque responsiveness with virtually no turbo lag. Basically, you feel like you're in a monster of a car. but you don't actually need all that energy. It's just better efficient. That's great. So the 2.0 liter EcoBoost engine is in the 2012 Explorer, the 2012 Edge, and it will be in the 2013 Escape, which is coming this spring, actually, because cars always come on about a year ahead of time, and will offer 1.6 liter and 2 liter EcoBoost options. Now, if that was a lot to listen to just now, and I'm trying to get my head around it myself, don't worry, because you can learn a lot more about EcoBoost and the other Ford technologies that they're working on hard to bring robotic living to your car at ford.com/technology. They've got a great website. They do a lot of explaining. They've got videos. They've got visuals. Executives and engineers explaining how these things get put together. So do go over to ford.com/technology. Learn a little bit more about EcoBoost, because it is amazing. And we thank Ford for sponsoring our show. All right, moving on. Amber, did you know that social messaging apps have cost networks, phone networks, billions of dollars, just billions of dollars, because people are using less SMS protocol?
You know, when I first read this headline, I had to kind of reread it, because at first I thought it was saying that these apps have lost billions of dollars.
Right,
but
right.
Then when I saw that they lost networks billions of dollars, I had I almost smiled, I have to admit.
Well, you know, I know what you mean. Because, okay, so the deal is that, okay, let's say I've got a deal with Verizon. That's my phone carrier. And with Verizon, I have a plan where I pay for a certain amount of SMS texts, I pay for a certain amount of voice minutes, I pay for unlimited data, as unlimited as data actually is these days, but that's my plan. And I've realized that, hey, I can use Facebook Messenger to basically text back and forth with Amber, but it's going over my data plan, which I have unlimited access to. So I can go ahead and choose a plan that has fewer texts. I can't choose a plan that has zero, because that's just not what's offered to me via Verizon. But I can certainly save some money, because I know that I can, you know, some people you have to SMS with just because maybe they are not hip to the other options that they have. But it's fairly easy to be able to text anything that feels exactly like a text, but just use data instead of SMS. Because of that, so, you know, I use Facebook Messenger as an example, but BlackBerry Messenger, there's a popular service that the BBC article references called WhatsApp, which uses...
Yeah, that's great. I use that one.
Do you? Yeah. I'll have to check that out, because I haven't used it yet. But all of these are, you know, they're the kind of apps that are going over data rather than SMS. The funny thing about SMS is it costs the wireless providers basically no money at all to run, but they do charge a pretty penny for texting plans. So the lower I think that you can get your texting plan, as long as you feel like you have the texting capabilities through other means. Now, of course, if you don't have an unlimited data plan, you know, the rules are a little bit different. Your mileage may vary, but I can see why these companies are racking up fewer profits.
Yeah, I can only guess, too. I mean, I see this all the time when I go to conferences or even go to a restaurant. It becomes more and more common that people who are using their smartphones will ask, is there an open wireless network that I can jump onto? And they're immediately switching over to using internet as far as their connection to be able to get data, not through their telco. So, I mean, it's great for users. This is one thing, I think, in the telecommunications industry where users actually benefit from using tools like this, and not so great for some of those companies out there that had expected to make so much money from text messages. But I think they kind of shot themselves in the foot. I mean, text messages, like you mentioned, have always been so expensive. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll send text messages or I'll use messaging apps, and I will be sending dozens and dozens of messages back to the same person. It's almost like you're having a conversation. So it just gets, it's not cost effective to do it through texting for sure.
The Monarch in our chat room says because their texting was so low because of iMessage, which is... This doesn't apply to everybody, but if Amber has an iPhone and I have an iPhone and we've both upgraded to iOS 5, we can use iMessage, which feels like texting but is actually not using the texting protocol. The Monarch says, I went to AT&T's site and I only have the option of pay per text or a $20 unlimited plan for texting. Now, I don't know why, the Monarch, you wouldn't like the pay per text option. Because if you're using iMessage and you only have to text every once in a while, then I would think that you wouldn't be needing to text that often. So maybe you only pay for 3 a month or something. But it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the wireless providers will try to, yeah, make you choose some sort of an unlimited texting plan that you don't have the option of canceling. I would love to just have a zero texting. And that way I could say to people, you know what, I don't actually have the option to do that. So you either have to friend me on one of these, you know, different networks, or you have to have an iPhone, or you can email me. No, I don't need any more email. But I would like to have no ability to text at all. Not a problem. I can work something out. But so far, my carrier will not allow that.
Unfortunately. Yes. Well, speaking of messaging, this is kind of sad news. I think we've had Leia on. Is it Leia Miller? Is that her last name?
Culver.
Sorry, yeah. There's a Canadian TV personality named Leia Miller. We've had Leia Culver on the show before, and it looks like Convor is shutting down their service. I got an email about this last week. This was a service that allowed you to instant message with a group of friends in real time, a very common service, which as far as other competitors in that industry, I'm suspecting that's why they decided to shut their doors. But a really nice message that they've put out to their users, and talking about how they're focusing now on a new service called Grove. I don't know about you, Sarah, but I always really respect these companies who just come out and decide to kind of start over. You know, they announce that this just isn't working and we're going to reevaluate and refocus our efforts on something new.
I agree with you. Convor was something that I really liked the idea of it. In fact, Twit had put together like a little, I guess you call them sub-convors, or whatever, where it was a Twit-focused, you know, a message board of sorts where you could post questions and kind of get a dialogue going. I did notice that after a while, it seemed to be dwindling. There was a lot of interest at first, not only on the part of our viewers and our audience, but, I mean, even us within Twit. It's like we wanted to use it, but for whatever reason, it just wasn't kind of getting into the daily workflow. Now, I don't know that that was true for everybody. I don't know that that's why Convor decided to shut down. That's probably part of it. I know that Grove.io, which is a, we'll have to have Leah come on the show to explain it a little bit better. I know that it's got an IRC component that's probably would be pretty interesting, at least for everybody who's in chat with us right now. But often these smaller companies have a good thing going, and then there's another business plan that's sort of starts to feel like this, and the company just has to decide what direction to put the resources in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it makes sense. And I know from following some of her work, she's been very successful. And it seems as though, you know, eventually it's like, it's kind of like whack-a-mole, you know, eventually you have kind of have a hit on your hand, but it means sort of going through the process of developing a bunch of different companies. So it would be fun to have her on and talk about Grove when it does launch. And RIP Convor, we need a list of services that are shutting up quickly, Sarah.
I hate to have, you know, it's not like I would never want like a little jingle, you know, like meh, meh, or anything for these companies. But I do think that it is kind of our duty to keep on top of not only new exciting services that come our way, but services that for whatever reason are not going to make it for the long haul, because that is the reality of kind of the social landscape where people are trying all sorts of different things, and that's cool, but they're not all going to stick.
I always get kind of sad when a service like this goes down, or if I look at an app on my phone and realize, oh, I've only used it once or twice. And I feel like this guilt, like this digital guilt that I should be using it more often.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one app that I'm kind of embarrassed that I haven't been using more often is Chomp, which was just acquired by Apple.
Yeah.
Which is quite an acquisition. And it's if anyone not familiar with it, it's an app search tool. If anyone uses the App Store regularly in iTunes, you know that it can be like a needle in a haystack. Unless you know exactly what you're searching for, it's really hard to find things, and categories are pretty lackluster. And Chomp aims to make it much easier for you to find the kind of apps that you want and that are going to be helpful to you and are in your price range and all that good stuff. So that's another example, Amber, of something where I'm like, why am I not using this more? But I'm glad somebody else recognized the way that this Chomp.
For sure. All right, Sarah. So now it's time for our social tip of the week. And this social tip is for Google Plus users. It appears as though we have quite a few people on Google Plus who watch the show. So this one will be particularly relevant. Tim O'Reilly posted this tip. I think it was actually a comment that was posted on his Google Plus page. The idea behind it is that you can create a circle and you can put posts in there for later sharing. Now, normally on Google Plus, as you know, Sarah, you'd create a circle because you want to put other people in that circle. Mm-hmm. Well, when you're doing this, you don't put anyone in that circle. And you can call the circle maybe save, or someone suggested call it bookmarks. And all you're doing with that circle is you are sharing posts that you like with that circle so that you can kind of bookmark them for later use or later sharing. They're not going to any individuals because that particular circle doesn't have individuals in it. But just, again, kind of an archive or a bookmarking solution, thinking about it like almost like, you remember Delicious, like a Google Plus circle version of Delicious. If that's not geeky enough, I don't know what is.
No, this is great. I mean, bookmarking is always a great spin on any. We just need to have bookmarking capabilities for all sorts of things, because sometimes we have time to do things and other times we don't. But I love this on Google Plus. I'll have to try this out. There are often times that I think, well, this is not the opportune time to share what I want to share with my network. But I don't want to forget it either. I have time to put it together now, but it would be nice to kind of have it in that waiting in the wings area. So this seems like a good solution.
Or even for the show, you know, you imagine you create a circle, call it the social hour, and maybe no one's in it, or maybe it's just me and you, and you can share articles through that, and it's a good way to remember them on a weekly basis. So a fun, simple little tip with Google Plus. And when I was looking through some of the tips for Google Plus, there's a lot you can do with this platform. And I know that not everybody loves it, but there's some great tips that you can find and little hacks you can find online to really kind of customize your own experience for Google Plus.
Absolutely. There are a lot of little Google Plus hacks that it'd be nice if there was just a people who like Google Plus hack circle or something. There probably is. If you know,
let us know.
But in the meantime, thanks to Tim O'Reilly for putting together this tip, or at least sharing it on Google Plus if he saw it somewhere else.
It's a goodie.
All right, Amber. Spotlight of the week goes to something called Chill. And I initially snickered a little bit because there was a read-write-web. I always have a hard time saying that out loud.
I do too. Read-write-web.
Because I want to say read-write-reb or read-write-web. Anyway, you guys, you know the publication I'm talking about. The article headline was, Chill, it's like Pinterest for video. And my first reaction was to be like, oh, God, everything is Pinterest for something else, because Pinterest is like the hot network that people know, you know, it's sort of a buzzword at this point. However, I thought, okay, well, I'll go ahead and I like the idea of Pinterest for video, even if that sounds a little bit silly. Let me check it out. So I went ahead and signed up for an account on Chill. And indeed, it looks a lot like Pinterest, but it's videos that you're sharing. And what you can do is you can hook it up to, let's say, your Facebook account or your Twitter account or both. So if you were to share a video on one of those networks, it could you could have them automatically pull into Chill. So if I was somebody that shared the Social Hour, you know, an embedded video on Facebook, I could then automatically be sharing it on Chill. Or you can share something directly to Chill, of course. You just need a URL of where the originating video is from. What's cool about this is that I think Pinterest, for many people, is you can share anything. You can share a link. You can share a photo, you can share all sorts of stuff. And then within Pinterest, there are sharing mechanisms to share within the network or other networks. And that's great. But it's almost a little too much of everything. Sometimes people want something that's just a little bit more specialized. So this is very much a Pinterest format. I mean, it looks almost a little too much like Pinterest, but hey, they wouldn't be the first network to put something that looks like Pinterest together. But I like the fact that it's just videos. So if you're kind of in that mood, or if you're looking for something specific, you can keep it a little bit more concentrated. One thing I also noticed, and Chad, I don't know if you can zoom in on the thoughts area where they give you the option of making a comment on the video. Yeah, there you go. So you've got the little comment bubble, you've got a smiley face, a sort of happy, laughy face, a surprised face, a frowny face, and a heart. What network does that remind anybody of? Because it reminds me of Path.
Yeah, definitely.
In fact, it looks, it's even in the same order that the Path emoticons are in on their network. Now, again, I like the way that Path is laid out quite nicely, so I'm not saying that it also doesn't look nice on Chill, but they seem to have gotten some inspiration directly from a few pretty successful networks already. But I like it.
It's very cool. I mean, I think it's becoming so common, too. I actually was going to put this down as one of our news items, but I was thinking, oh, we've talked a lot about Pinterest. Maybe I shouldn't, because it was a great article that I read that talked about companies kind of ripping off the Pinterest layout and design. And here we have Pinterest and both Path as far as inspiration for Chill. But it was really neat. And as far as how that layout has inspired so many people to just kind of decide this is a great way for viewing content mm-hmm. on the web. And I think even Flickr is planning to redesign their site to almost look somewhat similar to the way that Pinterest is laid out.
Really?
I read that somewhere. Ooh. Yeah, I'll try to dig up the article. And then there's been news sites that I've read about that have been inspired to lay out their services like Pinterest. Let's see. Flickr adopts Pinterest kill switch. Oh, no, there's anyway. It was some. Oh, Flickr makes a bold move. Okay, sorry. I can't find it right now. I can't find anything when I'm actually talking. That's part of the problem.
Well, I know. Wait, that's Murphy's Law of live TV.
Yes, of course, of course. I shouldn't be Google searching while I'm talking at the same time.
Exactly.
The multitasking isn't working, but nonetheless, like I said, a bunch of different services getting inspired by the Pinterest layout. And there's seems like there's, like you said, Pinterest for everything you can imagine.
Yeah, as Dan in chat is pointing out, as with Pinterest, and it works on Chill too, you can subscribe to people or particular pins or video subjects. So your experience is your own. I mean, that's the thing with anybody who sort of says, I don't get Pinterest, or I don't get Twitter, or I don't get all sorts of things. It's like none of us are having the same experience. It's all the way that you build and who you follow and who you choose to interact with. So if you're a video person, I think Chill is absolutely worth checking out. It's completely free to sign up. I connected through my Facebook account in seconds, and I had a bunch of friends that I was already following on Facebook on Chill. So yeah, it was a lot of fun right off the bat. And great. there's even a chat functionality within the service when you're logged in, which was kind of neat because somebody who works at Chill noticed that I had signed up and said, "Hey, do you work at Twit?" And I said, "Yes, I do. Hi." We had a little conversation, so that was kind of fun because my profile is public. Yeah, that's chill.com. So that's our spotlight for the week. Amber, do you want to read our email?
Yeah, this is fun. So this is an email that came in from Ronnie. Ronnie says, "Hello, girls. Love to watch you two on Mondays. Today I had an epiphany. Wouldn't the social hour be more social if the lower third was a Twitter feed of social hour tweets? Or maybe throw this visualizer up on screen during the show and use a hashtag while people are watching the show. We love the social hour, but we love engaging in our social streams in real time, too." And he sent us a link to a service that I have not seen before. It's called Visible Tweets and allows you to visualize tweets and hashtag conversations. Kind of neat, actually, Sarah. I mean, this is done in news a lot. You know, you have the ticker on the bottom of the screen where they put up tweets that are being sent across, not necessarily in real time because that could go poorly in the news environment. But I don't know if we could do something like this or if any other Twit shows do anything like this.
Yeah, I love this. I think it's really cool. Oh, you can see last year the Boomerang folks noticed that they were on the show, and so they sent out a tweet because they used the social hour as a hashtag. I think that this could work out really well for us, Amber, if we we'd have to put more effort on our part into encouraging people to tweet, knowing that their tweets could show up live or almost live, and you know, using the hashtag the social hour, because we've not really pushed that too far thus far, but I like the idea. Now, Ronnie, I'm not sure that it's in our best interest to have this as a lower third because it might be a little distracting if it was on for the whole show. But maybe if there were, you know, maybe if there was a monitor, yeah. Like if Chad, if you want to take the wide shot here that we used early in the show for Dave, well, I guess you can't really read that.
What about on the actual, and I know this isn't for our listeners, but when people are watching the show on live.twit.tv, as far as the screen real estate, isn't there lots of room around the edges for like a feed of something? I mean, this would be something more complicated than maybe we would do, but it would be interesting to add that social element from when people were watching on the, you know, on the web.
Yeah, I love this idea. I we'll have to put a little thought into. Ooh, yeah. That's, you know, that's not distracting at all. Check us out on Twitch. I think we can certainly play around with this idea. And maybe even if it wasn't something that was live through the entire show, there could be maybe Amber during the time of show that we go into viewer feedback. This is just something that's almost like a supplementary.
Oh, that would be neat.
We can talk about doing something like that.
Ronnie, this
is great because Amber and I weren't familiar with visible tweets before. I'm sure it's not the only service that does stuff like this, but I like the animation. It's pretty cool.
It's really fun and distracting. I'm dizzy now.
That's kind of my concern is that it's a little distracting. We're like, hey, over here.
Yeah.
Us.
But I think if it was up on a temporary basis, that might make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be
cool. All right. Okay, so Sarah, we have our tweet of the week, and this one is super silly. Just a warning, and there's nothing serious about this. It's not life-shattering. However, it is everywhere for some bizarre reason. Therefore, I had to mention it because even someone, let's see who it was, someone on Twitter, TWEYGANT, he had mentioned it to us. And this is a tweet, and the tweet says, "Great meeting most of you for the first time last night at the Oscars." And this tweet is from Angie's Right leg. Now, if you were watching the Oscars, you might have seen Angelina Jolie in a very sexy dress, and she had her right leg kind of sticking out, and she was posing on the red carpet. And now this Twitter account, Angie's Right Leg, has more than 10,000 followers and is turning into somewhat of a meme online. And I've read about it as far away as the Telegraph to all across Twitter, with people being intrigued by this.
Yeah, E. Kardashinsky in chat says, yeah, I didn't even have to watch the Oscars, and I heard about it. Well, what was funny was that, okay, so if anyone's listening to Amber and going, what are you talking about? Oscars were last night, the Academy Awards, Angelina Jolie, she had a big slit up the side of her dress. She wanted people to see that leg, and it was hard to ignore, even to the point where she had presented an award. I think it was Best Adapted Screenplay, and The Descendants won. And co-writer Jim Rash, when he got up, there were like three of them, he put his leg out and did like the Angie strut, which was funny because, well, that's not it. That's not it, Chad. You can pull up my screen, though. He's on my screen. He's not that little poor dog in the rain, either. Oh, I see. That was her leg. Yeah, so there are a lot of little memes that came out of this relatively silly, innocuous thing. But I think people just want a reason to talk about her. So, hey,
yeah.
We see the leg, and there you have it.
You know what? The only thing that bothers me about this is that I feel like some of these Twitter accounts that have been created that are almost like parody accounts, some of them are really funny. And there's so many opportunities with Angie's Right Leg to come up with really witty tweets. And yet when I was reading through the list, I was not that impressed. You know, just like, I'm a leg. Don't forget about the leg. Look, I'm everywhere. Great meeting most of you. Check me out, leg. It's kind of dry compared to some of the other accounts that we've seen that are in the sort of same vein.
Yeah, this is probably something that was hastily put together in order to get some laughs. It was certainly retweeted by a lot of people that I follow. But are those people, I mean, that's not the kind of account you even bother following, because the joke is...
Sarah. Are you judging me?
I'm not judging you, but will you continue to follow? I mean, there's not much more to say. You know, the joke's kind of over. I know what you mean about some of these parody accounts where you think whoever this is behind the account, you know, as long as they can prove this one day when they're looking for some comedy writing job or something, it's such a good resume because they're hysterical, and you can hopefully use that to your advantage someday when you decide to say, all right, everybody, it was me. But But some of the accounts seem to be like they want to be first rather than they want to be funny.
Funny, yeah. No, it's almost like this person needs a creative writer to come in and kind of save the account now that there's all this buzz and start getting really creative with what they're writing out there, because there's so much you could do. Not that I want that job, so no email necessary.
Yeah. In the meantime, Angie's right leg still available to follow. You never know. Maybe she will. Maybe that'll be her thing. Maybe she'll be at many, many award shows with the right leg in its full glory. I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. That we quite a hodgepodge of information on the show. We do want to hear from you. We love getting feedback, questions, ideas like Ronnie gave us. And there are a variety of ways that you can do that. You can email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. We read all of our emails. Even if we can't get to them, please know that we do read them and we thank you for them. You can also leave us a voicemail, 2626-SOCIAL. So that's 2626 SOCIAL. That's our Google voice number. Leave us a message. We're happy to listen and maybe even play it on the show. Or we haven't had one of these in a while that we could play. Record a video, upload it, and send us the link. You can upload it pretty much anywhere that you can link to, and then send us that link via email. And we'd love to play either one of your questions or your comments or even a tutorial or anything. You know, if you're feeling up for it, send us the video. We'd love to have it. All right, Amber, you are on deck for Rad or Fad. And while you are getting ready to wow us all for the week, I'm going to take this opportunity to thank one of our new sponsors, Ting, for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. So I was talking earlier about the limitations that these phone plans have on us, because you have to buy a certain amount of text messages, even if you aren't a text messenger, because that's the way that these plans get put together. It's almost like a cable subscription service. You know, there's not really an a la carte menu to choose from. You kind of just have to roughly pick the plan that you won't go over because you don't want to be hit with a bunch of charges. That's why Ting might actually be an amazing solution for you. It's actually built on the Sprint network, and it's a simple plan that has pricing that bills megabytes, minutes, and texting separately. So the deal is that you just go ahead and choose what you think that you're going to use in a month based on, you know, your average habits. If you use less minutes or texts or megabytes, you know, on your data plan that you thought you would, Ting will credit you the difference at the end of the month. That's unheard of.
Verizon, it's amazing.
Would never do that for me. My goodness. So that's awesome. So if you end up saying, listen, I really didn't talk as much as I thought I was going to, you'll see some money back at the end of the month. No, if you use more, you're not screwed. You're automatically billed for the additional amount. So you're not going to be penalized because you forgot that you were going to need to send a bunch of data that you weren't anticipating. That will just be reflected in your bill and you end up paying more. Ting has no premiums, no penalties. You just pay for what you use. And they offer also 4G Android phones through Sprint. So if you're interested in getting a phone, they've got quite a few models, the LG Optimus, the HTC Detail, Motorola Photon, for example.
I have that one, actually. I have this service, Sarah, just so you know, and I have the Photon. I've been using it for a bit and love the Photon, first of all, but super impressed with the service, and there's nothing like this out there. I mean, like you said, we've all been hammered with those cell phone bills where, you know, maybe we don't use as much as we thought we would use. We still have to pay the full rate of the plan, or we go over and it's so expensive. And this is the pricing for Ting, like you mentioned, is just fantastic. And I love it's really neat how they do it in like extra small, medium, large, and extra large as far as the different rate plans, and makes it super simple to go through the different plans and decide which is a good fit for you. And inevitably you're going to save money by using something like this.
Well, that is awesome. I have not had the opportunity to use Ting yet. So Amber, it's nice to know that you're very happy with it, because when I look at a structure like this, and by the way, this is from Tucows, who are the guys who brought you Hover, so they definitely know how customer service works and keeping people happy. Absolutely, they have a good track record. But this is the sort of thing that I hope forces all the big guys to offer plans like this. This is why I want Ting to be successful, because this is what we deserve. We deserve these phone plans that, you know, because people don't use the data and voice and texting the same. We all just have different lives, and it sucks to get put into a category that you're like, well, this doesn't really reflect me, but I have to choose this because I don't want to have to pay so much money. So, yeah, Ting is great for this. We also have a little extra for you. If you enter ting.com/social hour, when you go to Ting and check out the pricing, see what your options are. But if you use ting.com/social hour and you want to purchase one of the phones that they offer, you can get $50 off your device purchase. So if you want that Photon like Amber has, it's listed at $545. You can get that for $400 and something. You can get it for under $500. So nice, hefty, $50 off your device purchase just by going through us. Again, that's ting.com/social hour. And we thank them so much for sponsoring us because it is a really good fit.
I also, if you want to just check out, they have a savings calculator on their website too that you can use to try to determine how much you will save by switching over to Ting compared to your current service provider. So this is really handy to, again, wrap your head around the idea that this is a new way to think about a plan for your smartphone.
Absolutely. So thank you to Ting. Again, at ting.com/social hour. I'm going to look into it too. All right, Amber, it's time for Rad or Fad. What you got?
Okay, so this is a little bit different. I love in Rad or Fad doing everything from gadgets to social services and other items. And this is more of a concept, and I'd love to get your opinion on it, Sarah, as well as what our listeners think of this. Now, this is a film that has recently come out. It's being promoted online, a digital film, and it's called Andy X, which is streaming on the exact 25-year anniversary of the death of Andy Warhol. And it's a 40-minute look at Warhol's life. Now, they've come up with a really creative way to promote this film. Very unusual. So you are able to actually buy this film on Facebook. And the more Facebook friends you have, the less you pay to watch the film. So this is almost turning your friends into currency. And this kind of makes me, my stomach sort of turn when I read that statement. however, I guess I applaud them for their creativity. Again, just an unusual way to market something online based on people's social networks and you know, putting value on that. So you can save money on the $6.99 download based on the number of friends you have on Facebook.
Okay, well, okay. On the surface, I'm with you. I say, well, hold on a second. They just want me to spam more people about the movie that I'm watching. So that's why, you know, for me, paying less, the people, you know, responsible for the movie and the marketing efforts end up getting more out of me because I have a wider audience of people to share this with. But, you know, if I actually really like the movie, then that's something that I would want to share with people anyway. I guess I just, it almost feels like it's penalizing people who are just very private and might not have that many friends on Facebook because that's not the way that they use it. And I would hate to say that, you know, the more friends you have, the better, because I definitely don't think that that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and if you go visit their Facebook page, I think you can visit at facebook.com/AndyXTheMovie, and we'll have this link up on the social hour on our site. You can go into the section called Friends with Benefits, and that's where you're able to actually download the 40-minute film, and you can watch now. And they explain this whole concept of using your friends as currency. They explain that one Facebook friend equals 1 cent. So you would be able to subtract 1 cent for every friend that you have on Facebook. The discount is capped at 400 friends. So that means no matter what, you have to pay at least, I guess, $2.99. So I don't know. It's just a weird thing. I want to say it's kind of rad if I have my marketing hat on. I worry about where this could go. And like you said, just, you know, putting your friends within this network and putting value on, you know, them, particularly at 1 cent. My first reaction was, hey, this, you know, maybe they're worth more than that.
Yeah, really. And some friends, I don't know, not all friends are equal. Certainly not on Facebook. I mean, there are people that I'm connected with that I say, sure, they're internet friends, but it's not necessarily somebody that I would, you know, tell my deep, dark secrets to. Mm-hmm. Those would be other sorts of friends. Yes. Or there's the people who you say, they might really get a kick out of this movie. I'd love to share this with them. And then other friends where you go, eh, it's not their thing. I know it is, and I'm not going to bug them with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of think it's got fad. I think I have to lean more to the side of fad, just because I don't know in how this would work in many other scenarios. And I'm not sure if it's sort of the future of marketing on Facebook. So I think it's kind of a fad that may work for them right now. But eventually, I think people would get very tired of this type of promotion. They'll probably get a lot of headlines, and you know, news outlets will pick it up and bloggers will comment on it. It's a little bit controversial, just like if you remember that that campaign that Burger King did about if you unfriended people, then you were able to get a free Whopper or something along those lines. Sometimes when you're messing with the currency of your friends on Facebook, people react poorly. It's great for headlines, but not good for long-term success.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think that this is, I think it's fad. Also, because I just don't see the sort of thing being so successful that we're going to see, hey, tell all of your friends about this new album on Facebook and you don't have to pay as much for the next Coldplay type of thing. I just don't see that happening on a larger scale. I see that happening every once in a while and thinking, huh, that's a pretty clever way to get the word out. But it's almost, to me, it's a little bit like the idea of... when you sign up for a new service and it's in closed beta and they want you to tell five friends so that you have access to the beta sooner than you would normally, that sort of thing is, hey, listen, I'm not telling you not to do that if you really want to get into this network faster, but it's a little manipulative, or it feels that way to me. I usually don't like to participate in stuff like that. So I think that this is a fad.
Yeah. You know what, though? This is the perfect type of rat or fad where we can get all of your comments in terms of what you guys think. And great for a voicemail or email or tweet or whatever it might be to let us know what you think. And maybe it works out great for you. Maybe you love this because you can save a few dollars and that's meaningful for you. Or maybe you absolutely hate it because you hate the idea of putting a dollar amount on your friends, which could include, you know, everyone as close as your mom. So let us know what you think of this rat or fad if Sarah and I are way off.
Yeah, MacGuy12 in chat says, funny thing is I bought Time Freak on iTunes. Time Freak was it's an animated short, right? It was up for best an Oscar last night. I'm not exactly sure what category it was in, but I know it was Academy nominated, and said, I liked it, so I told everybody about it for free. And that's actually, I mean, that's, I think what our point is a little bit is, if you want to share something, you're going to share something organically. If you're excited about it, or if you hate it, I mean, if there's a passion there, then you're likely to go tell people about it. And that's the sort of review that counts more, because there's no incentive except that you're wanting to share. So
some of the comments on the where I found this on allfacebook.com are pretty hilarious. Someone wrote, so if I have 700 friends, will they pay me a penny? Another person wrote, 1 cent is about the worth of some of my friends. I'll be waiting until I've got 699 of them before I watch this film, though. So again, inspires lots of conversation. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So we'll go with fad, and if currency becomes the next big thing of how to treat your friends, then we will eat crow here on the show.
We will. We'll eat crow. Yeah.
But for now, that's it for this edition of The Social Hour. We are done with our hour. Remember that we're on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Started a little bit early today, so if you came at 11 Pacific and said, hey, I missed half of that interview, then don't worry, you can always go to twit.tv/TSH, the Social Hours website, and catch up on anything that you missed, or watch it again, or make sure that you've got all the links that we talked about. You can also find our show on iTunes as well. So Amber, that was really fun. I guess I will see you here next week, same time, same place.
I will be here, Sarah, and thanks so much for everyone who watched or tuned into the show, and we'll see you soon.
All right, bye everybody.
Bye.